Amen. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good morning and welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. It is a joy to be in worship with you today, whether you're here with us in the sanctuary or joining us online. We pray that this time of worship is a blessing to you. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here at Asbury. My colleague is Brother Hammett Evans, and he'll be bringing today's message as we continue on with our Reconnect series. Today we're going to talk about reconnecting through our priorities. I have just a few announcements before we get started today. First of all, I encourage you to register your attendance today. That's very important. And the way you will do that is on the back of your bulletin, you have a little QR code. And you just simply open your phone, open the camera, and hold the camera over it, and it will take you to the website. You don't have to take a picture of it. You just hover over that. And we also have a barcode back there as well for giving, if you are moved to do so today. Our family-to-family boxes are here. We normally do that as a Thanksgiving mission. This year, it is going to be as a Christmas mission. And those boxes are available. They are in the Wilson Activity Center. If you go over there, the boxes are there. There's a nice layout that Carol Godwin has put up that takes you through what to buy and the envelope for the hens and all of those things. Those are due back at the church by December 5th. You can just drop those off at the office anytime, and the staff will be happy to receive that. Advent season begins next Sunday. I know it's hard to believe that it's already here, but that is the case. We have a beautiful Advent season planned here at Asbury, and so we pray that you're able to join us during that time. We're going to start our Advent season big next week. On top of our normal Advent services that we have in the morning, we have a wonderful afternoon planned at Asbury. We are going to gather for an Advent dinner starting at 4 o'clock, I believe, and we are going to begin by consecrating the building. And what I mean by that is, for those most of you know, we paid off our mortgage last year, and so it's time for us to come together and set a nice warm fire and place that note in it. So we are going to, which we learned also, we're going to burn a copy of the note, right? We don't want to burn the original. That's only in the Methodist Book of Discipline because somebody probably did that in the past. But we're going to burn a copy of it, and we're going to enjoy that time with an Advent dinner. And then right after dinner, we're going to come in here for a Hanging of the Green service. And so that is something that's very special, and so we hope that you are here for that. The theme for Advent this year is God with us. And so we are going to, as a church together, anticipate the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ. And we have a lot of different ways to do that. One of those is this devotional book, God with Us. And the church is providing one copy for every household, and it has an Advent devotional for each day of the Advent season. These books are out in the narthex. So when you leave today, see Ron Paulson or Jim Britt, some of the ushers, and they can get you a copy. But it is free to you, and we hope that you walk through the Advent season with us with this wonderful devotional. On December 12th at 4 p.m., we have our Santa and sing-along event for the kids. That's going to start at 4 p.m., and so we hope that you can come and enjoy that time with the children as they visit with Santa and as they sing Christmas carols and just have a wonderful afternoon together. Space is limited on that, so you will want to register, and that link should be in the Asbury Things, right? And if you're unable to find that link, just shoot us an email, and we'll get that to you. Lastly, we are looking to hire two folks here at the church. One is a communications director, and this is a person who is going to handle all communicating both to the congregation and to the community at large. Right now, Cheryl is currently handling that, and I think we can all agree that Cheryl has a lot more on her plate than she probably should. And so we're looking to hire a part-time person to fill that role. So if you know somebody who is a great communicator, is very savvy with technology, social media, email, all of those things, we encourage you to encourage them to apply for the position. We are also looking for one more nursery worker here on Sunday mornings. That is an hourly position, and if you know someone that might be interested in that, just contact Nicole, and she can help you with that as well. Now, as we continue on in worship, I invite you to listen to our call to worship, Seek Ye First, by the Asbury Handbells. Please stand for our prayer of invocation. And I invite you to pray along with me in the bulletin. Maker of heaven and earth, you enliven your creation, causing the skies to rain, the soil to be rich and fertile, the fields to yield abundant crops, and the trees to bear fruit. Enliven us once more, Holy One. Call us forth into the joy of your harvest, from tears to shouts of joy, from calamity to plenty, from worry to faith, and from what is false to what is true. You are our God. There is no other. We praise your name, for you have dealt wondrously with us and will do so again. Amen. Please remain standing for our hymn of praise, We Gather Together. It's on page 131 in the hymnal. In the midst of our Reconnect series, we are also in the midst of our 2021 stewardship campaign. And so in this time, we are all prayerfully considering our gifts of both resources, money, gifts, service, and talent to the church in 2022. It's been a wonderful series. It was wonderful to see stewardship return last week after a long hiatus. And so we pray that during this time, you have been in prayer about what you would like to do in service to the church in 2022. As for this morning, there are three ways in which you may give if you choose to do so. We have an offering basket right outside the sanctuary in the narthex area. We also have all of our technological ways to give, text to give and giving online through our website. Or like I said earlier, you can scan the QR code on the back. For this morning's stewardship moment, I'd like to invite Meg Byers up as she shares a special message with us.
Good morning. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Meg Byers, and as we move into a season of giving, I just wanted to share how the ministries of Asbury personally touched and blessed our family. So about 6.5 years ago, we wanted to move to Little Rock, and we found this perfect home. The timing felt right. Everything just lined up like it was supposed to. And we hadn't sold our home in Benton yet, but there was a lot of interest, and everybody that walked through the door said, oh, it's going to fly off the shelf. You don't have to worry about anything. You can move forward. We know the house is going to sell. So we were a little bit nervous about it, but we had run the numbers over and over again, and we thought, okay, We can do this. We can swing both houses, you know, for a while. And we didn't want to. It might make things tight for a while. We might have to give up some of the luxuries like food and gas and, you know, things like that. But we're like, we can do it. Everybody said, these are the professionals in their field. And they knew. So we did it. We moved forward. We made the move. We settled into our Little Rock house. And many of you might remember Amy Bennett Shores. We knew each other from Benton. So she decided to reach out to us, and she invited us to Asbury. So I committed to visiting. We had never been to a Methodist church before. My husband was raised Baptist. I was raised Assemblies of God, and we had kind of settled on a non-denominational church. And we thought, well, we can do that. We're willing to give anything a try. So we were going to visit, and the day before we visited, we were pretty sure that we had secured an offer on our home. They had looked at it 4 times. They were like, yeah, we want this. Everything's great. And then we get a text message Saturday. It fell through. They don't want, and there was nothing else. I mean, nobody, the showings had stopped, everything had slowed down. So I was not in the mood to visit a new church the next day. I was panicky, I was sad, I just didn't know what we were gonna do, but I had committed to Amy. And so we went ahead Sunday morning and we came. So Sunday morning came, and from the second we walked in, we were greeted with smiling faces. Everybody that said hi to us and introduced themselves, they genuinely seemed like they were glad we were here. We came into the sanctuary service, we sent our kids to the kids' classes, we went and visited the Next Phase Sunday School class for the first time, and we really enjoyed all of it. But when it was time to go, I get in the car, and I just had tears in my eyes. I was terrified, I was scared, I could not believe we made this move. I felt like I was solely responsible for walking my family into this really difficult position. And we get home, and of course Joe, any of you know Joe, he's very calm, cool-natured, and he just said, it's gonna be okay, everything's gonna work out. I'm like, no, it's not. We can't feed our family, nothing is working out, nothing is gonna work out. And we get home, we get inside, and I don't know how you guys did it, but I promise, we did not even have our shoes off, and there were 2 women from Asbury at the front door. And they knocked at the door, and we go up there, and it's, hi, you know, I have no idea who these women are. And they say, hi, we're here from Asbury, we just wanted to bring you some fresh baked bread for your family. We wanted to say thank you, welcome you, we're so glad you visited. And you know, we exchanged pleasantries and shut the door, and just tears mixed with a sense of peace came over me. Because on the way home, I'm worried about feeding my family, and God shows up through this simple, seemingly small ministry that is here and said, I'm gonna take care of you. I'm gonna feed you. You're right where you're supposed to be. So it felt right at that time. And thanks to this loaf of bread, we now have friends here, we have a church family, and we have found multiple ways to give back and serve. We've loved volunteering in the youth group. We've loved helping Miss Carol Godwin sort groceries, and my kids absolutely love handing out food every time we're given the opportunity at the food pantry. We love going with Mr. Greg and having the opportunity to serve our neighbors downtown with Stone Soup. We've loved having our kids write cards, send letters to those who can't make it as much as they might like. We've also loved anytime the opportunity has presented itself to help bake a loaf of bread. So whether you want to sing, their beautiful choir, whether you want to do handbells, which that was absolutely beautiful this morning, whether you want to write letters, help Miss Cheryl in the office volunteer to take some of that load, you know, off of her shoulders, there is a place for you here. There's a spot for your resources, there's a spot for your gifts, there's a spot for your talents, and anything that you have, there's a place for you here at Asbury. So prayerfully, as we move forward into 2022, please consider how we can show our gratitude towards Christ for all of the blessings that have been done for us.
In the valley of love and delight, 'tis a Amen. What wonderful music today. God, you are good and you are gracious in every moment, in every season, and we are so thankful. Thankful for the blessings that you have given to us over the past year, for the ways that you have, in so many ways, led us through the wilderness. And we thank you for being right at our side. God, we are so blessed and we are so thankful for all of your gifts. And today, we pray that as we prepare to celebrate Thanksgiving with our families later this week and with our friends, that you will make us ever more mindful of all of those blessings. Lord, we lift up all of those who are hurting today, those who are grieving, those who are mourning, those who are ill or in special need. And we especially lift up Clifford Smith, June Glazier, Fred Williams, Barbara Clark, Patty Shoemaker, our neighbor Mrs. Franklin, Noah Logan, Megan Arnold, Auburn Anderson, the family of William Busby, and we lift up Jennifer Shimmer in the death of her grandfather, Roger Dinker, and her father, John Matthews, this week. Lord, we pray that you will give them the grace and the peace that passes all understanding, that they may feel you present with them as they walk that journey. Lord, we also lift up our church family. We are so grateful for the ways that you bless us to bless others. And we continue to seek your will and to follow where you lead as we do that. And Lord, finally, we lift up ourselves today. We pray that you will fill our hearts with gratitude so that the spiritual fruit of generosity may grow into full bloom. We pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Mark. We're going to be in chapter 12 and we're going to read verses 38 through 44. I invite you to stand for the reading of the Gospel. As he was teaching, he said, "Watch out for the legal experts. They like to walk around in long robes. They want to be greeted with honor in the markets. They long for places of honor in the synagogue and at banquets. They are the ones who cheat widows out of their homes, and to show off, they say long prayers. They will be judged most harshly." Jesus sat across from the collection box for the temple treasury and observed how the crowd gave their money. Many rich people were throwing in lots of money. One poor widow came forward and put in two small copper coins worth a penny. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I assure you that this poor widow has put in more than anyone who's been putting money in the treasury. All of them are giving out of their spare change. But she, from her hopeless poverty, has given everything she had, even what she needed to live on." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Well, happy Thanksgiving. I'm so thankful that you are here with us today, and I'm so thankful for those of you who are joining us online as well. Welcome to Asbury. Today we're talking about how we reconnect as a church family through our generosity. And would you pray with me? Let us pray. God, we do thank you for, we know that everything that we have and everything that we are is a gift of your gracious, abundant, and merciful love for us. And we pray now that you will give us your Holy Spirit, so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable to you, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, Amen. Several years ago, there was a husband who wanted to impress his wife. Their marriage wasn't doing very well, and so he wanted to make a big show and be a hero to her. Well, the fellow was and this is a true story, by the way, sadly, but he was a high school teacher, and so he decided to hire some of his students to dress up as burglars and to burglarize their home. And everything went pretty much to plan. They broke into the house, duct taped the wife to a chair, acted like they were going to steal a stereo, and then right on cue, the teacher arrived to save the day. He fought off the fake burglars. He whacked one across the back with a plank that he had already sawed half in two just to break cleanly. And everything was going great until his wife broke free from the duct tape and called the police. That was not in the plan. Well, the police came, and the teacher told his story. He said that he had scared the burglars away and that he had hit one of them across the back with a board. Now, to his credit, he called the next day. He called the police station the next day and fessed up to what he had done. And he did have to pay back the city for the investigation. And I don't want you to worry about him, because just a few years later, he won the Teacher of the Year award at the school where he works now. But I could not find whether or not his marriage survived. I kind of doubt it. That's a pretty extreme example, but I know that each and every one of us in this room and those who are joining us online have tried to impress somebody at one time or another in our life. We like to keep up appearances. The clothes we wear, the salary that we make, the vehicles that we drive, the friends we have, even the church that we attend can be a measure of our status. All of those things can simply be about appearances and show. Well, Jesus knew that we're like that, especially good religious folks like us sitting here today and watching online today. And so that's why Jesus told his followers not to become hypocrites. Now, somebody has said that a hypocrite is someone who complains there's too much sex and violence on their DVR. Our word hypocrite comes from the Greek word actor. It means actor. Hypocrites are actors who live their lives by what others will think and say about them. So Jesus says to his disciples, watch out for all those good religious folks. They like to wear fancy clothes. They want people to bow down to them when they're shopping. They want to sit at the head table at the banquet. They'll cheat a widow for a buck, and they'll pray long and eloquent prayers just to show off. And then Jesus says, they will be punished the most harshly. Now, why would Jesus say that? I mean, what's wrong with being a good religious person like all of us here? What's wrong with wearing nice clothes or being a well-respected citizen? Well, the truth is, there's nothing wrong with any of those things. The problem was that those folks were focused on impressing other people, not how they were impressing God. Then Jesus looks over at the treasury, and I know we take an offering in this kind of weird way today, but back then, the way they did the offerings was very different from even what we're doing right now. They had different kinds of offerings, and so if you came to the sanctuary, you might bring an animal or a grain offering, or you could bring money. And if you brought animals or grain offering, you took it into the sanctuary, and you took it down to the altar, and the priest would sacrifice the animal and burn whatever the offering was on the altar, and it would go rise up into the heavens. Money offerings were given in the outer court, which is pretty much what we're doing right now. But back then, around the temple, there were 13 giant horns. And if you think about the bell of a tuba or the bell of a sousaphone, that's what they were like. Or sometimes I'll say, it's kind of like, you know that thing that they have at McDonald's during part of the year where you drop your quarter in and it just goes zzz, zzz, zzz. You remember that? It's kind of like one of those. So anyway, that's what they had, 13 of these giant horns where you would throw in your money. And it would go directly down into the temple vault. So it's kind of like a first century night deposit. So Jesus looks over at one of these horns, and he's watching. As he watches, there are people throwing in their money. And some of them are making a big deal about it. They've brought a whole band. They brought an orchestra with them, and there's a trumpet player blowing before them. And they walk up, and they dump huge bags of coins down into the horn. And it sounds like a thunderstorm going down, down, down into the vaults. But then this poor widow comes. In her hand, she has two tiny, insignificant coins worth less than a penny. There's no fanfare, no band, no theme music. She drops the two coins down the horn, and all you could hear is a little faint trickle going down into the vault. Nobody even notices her gift, but Jesus does. Jesus turns to his disciples and says, "Hey, did you just see that widow right there?" The answer is no. She just threw in more than anybody else into that horn. Now, Mark doesn't tell us what the disciple says, but I imagine it was something like, "What are you talking about, Jesus?" Jesus says, "Listen, everybody else threw in their spare change." In Greek, he says, they're leftovers. But she, from her hopeless poverty, threw in everything, as much as she had. And then in Greek, Jesus says, her whole life. So the question for us today is, are you more like the widow or like everybody else in the story? Are you giving your leftovers, your spare change to God, or are you giving your whole life? When God, God doesn't want your money. You might not have ever heard that a preacher say that before, but God does not want your money. God wants your life. And when you're giving God your life, you want everything in your life to glorify God. The way you use your time, the way you use your talents, and yes, the way you use your treasure. So next Sunday, we all have an opportunity to commit our time, talent, and treasure to God. It's our annual Stewardship Sunday, Stewardship Consecration Sunday. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been invited by several folks, including Stuart, to consider praying and answering the question, how is God calling me to use my time, talents, and treasure in the coming year? Now today, we're focusing on treasure. And generosity is a fruit of the Spirit. So how we commit our treasure is a spiritual question, not a financial question. And it's an important one. Before we get into that, I want to say three quick things. One is, first of all, I know that many of us at Asbury get it. Amen? Many of y'all get this today. I'm not telling you anything new. And over the last 20 months, Asbury has been extremely generous. Last year, we paid off our building debt, and we're in a wonderful financial position going into 2022, as Scott Noble shared with us a couple of weeks ago. So first, I just want to say thank you so much. Amen? Thank you. Thank you. Not every church is in this position today. So thank you. The second thing is that I want to recognize that we have people in the sanctuary and watching online who are in different phases of life. And so there may be things that you hear and you go, well, I used to do that 20 years ago. I've been doing that for 50 years. But there are some of us in the room and watching online who are having trouble. And they may need to hear these things more than you do. So what I want to invite you to do is just go, oh, wow. Pat myself on the back for doing what I've just been told to do. Amen? The third thing is this, and this is the second most important. I'm not telling you to do anything that I don't do. Amen? I practice what I preach. And so as we go through these things, I want you to know that I've been in all of these positions, and God has done this in my life. It's not a way of bragging, because God has done this. So How we commit our treasure is an important spiritual question, and people answer that question in one of three ways. One person says, I have been wanting to tithe for years. I've been wanting to give 10% of my income to God's ministry through the church for years, and I am ready to take that step. I feel God calling me to give 10% of my income to God's ministry through the church. Another person says, I've been praying about tithing, about giving 10% of my income to God's work through the church, and I feel that God is calling me to do that eventually, but God wants me to start somewhere this year. I'm not quite ready to step up to tithing. I feel God is calling me to give 3%, 5%, 8% of my income to God's ministry. And I know that God will bless that decision and will help me give more in the coming years. Now, that is how Michelle and I started 18 years ago. The first year we were married, we gave, but we weren't very methodical about it. We gave our leftovers. We gave our spare change. The next fall, our church family began the annual stewardship drive, and somebody, I believe it was Kel Dinker, who is related to Jennifer Shimmer, got up and invited us to pray and to ask God what proportion of our income God was calling us to give that next year. So Michelle and I prayed about it, and then we came together and talked about it, and we had come up with different answers. Amen? So eventually we reached a consensus. And it was less than a tithe. I think it was about 3 or 4%. But we made that commitment that year, and God helped us to keep it. Then every year after that, we took a step up. Sometimes if one of us got a raise, we would just throw the raise into our giving to the church for the next year. And within about 4 or 5 years, we reached 10% and then went beyond that. And along the way, we discovered some tools that helped us to lay a good, solid foundation. And we found them in the book Enough by Reverend Adam Hamilton. And I know Asbury did a study of that book several years ago during their stewardship emphasis. I believe he adapted them from Dave Ramsey. And so if you've ever done any of Dave Ramsey's stuff, these may sound familiar. But these are six principles of financial stewardship that you can follow. The first one is pay your tithe and offering first. In the Bible, God calls us to give the first fruits. And so the first check that Michelle Pounds writes every month is to Asbury United Methodist Church. She's done that for 18 years. And it takes a little while to get used to, but eventually, it's like that money was never there in the first place. The second thing you do is you create a budget and track your expenses. Creating a budget helps you to tell your money what to do instead of your money telling you what to do. And tracking expenses helps you make sure that your money is doing what you want it to do. The third thing is simplify. You don't just live within your means, you live beneath your means. That's what John Wesley meant by saying when he said, save all you can, be thrifty, simplify your spending. The next thing is to establish an emergency fund. This is fourth because you have to do it after the first three things. You set up a savings account and gradually put back 3 months' income just in case something tragic happens. The fifth thing is to use credit wisely. And if I was a teenager or if I was in my 20s or a college student, I would write that one down. Amen? Use credit wisely. If you have credit card debt, start paying those cards off. If you have to use a credit card, make sure that you can pay it off at the end of the month. And if you can't do that, it's better to just cut them up and not use them at all. Now, several people told me that when I started college, and I did not listen to them. And I really wish I had. I spent more money on those things, and it took me forever to pay them off. So that's why it's important to use credit wisely. The next thing is to practice long-term savings and investing habits. And that's not saving for saving's sake, because saving for saving's sake is called hoarding. This is putting back money for your retirement and for wants and goals and things like that. So these six principles of financial stewardship work. You may know that Michelle and I just bought a home. We move in 2 weeks, and that's really overwhelming. Amen? so anyway, we're happy to be moving to Little Rock. We love the neighborhood, and we're really excited to be doing that. But oh my gosh, 2 weeks from Thursday, I think, is when we move. So anyway, it's a little overwhelming. But We are so excited about that, but it would have been a lot harder for us to do that if we had not been practicing those six financial principles for so long. Now, as I said a minute ago, I'm reluctant to tell you that because the last thing that I want to be is a show-off. It's not bragging, because God did this in our lives. And I'm telling you this because I believe that if God can do that in my life and in Michelle Pound's life, that God can do it in yours too. So that gets us to the third kind of person who prays and asks God what God is calling them to give. And this person has been tithing for a while. They set that goal and they reached it. And at that time they said, we'll tithe now, but later on maybe we'll do more. But now tithing doesn't feel like much of a sacrifice. And so they feel God calling them to give more than 10% to God's work. And it reminds me of a lady named Osceola McCarty. Osceola grew up, she died about 20 years ago, grew up poor in Mississippi. And when she was in the sixth grade, she had to drop out of school to take over her mother's laundry business when her aunt got sick. By the time she could return to school, all of her classmates and friends had moved on up to the next grade, and so she decided not to go back. She just kept on washing and ironing other people's clothes. Well, Osceola was a faithful Christian, and so she lived on what she needed, and she gave money to her church, and she put some back for the future, for her retirement. When she retired at 86 years of age, Osceola had saved $280,000. She kept just enough for her to live for the rest of her life, and she decided to give the rest away. She donated $180,000 to the University of Southern Mississippi so that students in need of financial help could get the education that she never had. Now, here's the thing. When other people heard about Osceola's gift, they got together and donated some $330,000 to that scholarship fund. It's still there today, paying for students right now to go to school. When Ted Turner heard about her gift, he said, this is a quote, "If that little woman can give away everything she has, then I can give a billion." And he did. Osceola once said, "I can't do everything, but I can do something to help somebody. I wish I could do more, but what I can do, I will do." That is how you give your whole life. So as you celebrate Thanksgiving this week, I invite you to pray about how you will use your treasure to support God's ministries through Asbury in 2022. And then come back next Sunday prepared to offer God your whole life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, amen. I'm going to invite Brother Nick to come and lead us in our affirmation of faith.
Please stand as you are able for affirmation of faith, which is found in the bulletin. We believe in God, creator of beauty, source of every breath, foundation of every movement. God leads us beside still waters, makes us lie down in green splendor, and lets nature heal and restore us. We believe in Jesus, the risen Christ, who loved the least, the last, and the lost. Christ loves us, calls us by name, and cleanses us from our sins. We believe in the Spirit, who gathers us into a multicultural community, gives us a song to sing, and prepares a feast for us all. We live as God's people, filled with everlasting hope and showered with blessing. Amen. This morning in our contemporary service at 11 o'clock, we have the blessed opportunity to perform the sacrament of baptism with Cadence Olivia Burney. We are so excited to welcome her into our Christian faith family. When we baptize someone in the church, they are coming into the entire church family, and we all commit to raising them with the love of Christ. And so this morning in this service, we will share the congregational vows of baptism together. These are also found in your bulletin. I encourage you to repeat with me the boldface type when we get there. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reject sin and reaffirm your commitment to Christ? We do. Will you care for one another in the Christian faith and life and include Cadence now in your care? With God's help, we will share the good news and live by Christ's example. We will surround Cadence with a community of love and forgiveness so she may grow in her trust of God and become faithful in her service to others. We will pray for her so she may become a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to true life. As members in the body of Christ and this church family, we renew our vows to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, so that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Our hymn of commitment this morning is Sent Forth by God's Blessing. It is on page 664 of our hymnal.
A quick reminders, the offering basket is out in the narthex. Next Sunday we talk about reconnecting hope. It's the first Sunday in Advent, and as Nick said earlier, we invite you to bring your cards and your covenant forms to lay at the altar next Sunday. And then next Sunday afternoon, we are so thrilled that after, 39 years of being in this building, we can finally consecrate it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. And so, fantastic. So we're going to do that at 4 p.m., and we're going to start outside, and then we're going to move inside for our hanging of the greens, and we want to encourage you to come for that. And yes, there's a specific note, even in our book of worship, that says, do not, thou shalt not burn the original mortgage. And I'm sure that's in there because somebody did it. But one of my Old Testament professors once said that if somebody in the Bible is complaining about something, it's because somebody did it. Also, we want to encourage our kids to register for Santa Sing-Along and all of that on December 12th. Nick mentioned jobs, the two positions that we have open as well. And be sure and pick up your devotional books following the service. Would you please receive this dismissal with blessing? Nick, we're going to walk out today. with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen.